What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
No one wanted to talk about it. No one would admit they had seen or heard it.
Boils and ghouls, lock your doors and strap yourselves in. From Los Angeles, California, Bloody Disgusting presents the Boo Crew Podcast. Horror news, commentary, reviews, interviews, and more. With your hosts, Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio.
I'm Leo.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Trevor, and welcome to your Boo Crew Podcast, episode 368. You listening, thank you so much for choosing to spend some of your time with us. That sounds like one of those airlines.
Yeah, you have a lot of podcasts to choose from. Thank you for listening to the Boo Crew.
Thank you for flying Southwest jets.
Yeah, exactly. So on today or tonight's program, it is a massive week for the genre. We'll talk all about it, tell you what's new in theaters and streaming, catch you up on what we've been watching, and some recommendations for you. The new M. Night Shyamalan film, Knock at the Cabin, is out this week, February 3rd at time of release. So sad that, Leo, you weren't able to join us at that press screening we went to.
Oh, how was it?
Freaking amazing.
It was really good.
Yeah, we'll talk all about it coming up. No spoilers, promise, no spoilers at all. But Leo, very special guests dropping by the show that you have no idea about. So after the press screening, we got word that we were added to the junket that took place Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
So there's 3 4-minute interviews with M. Night, Rupert Grint, and Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldridge coming up at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I would like to say that I think it's really ballsy of us to think that we're all going to talk, well, at least you and I, showing up to a 4-minute each press junket.
Impossible.
Like, it's kind of comical because you go on and you see all these press outlets and there's always like one person, and then it's either like 3 of us or 2 of us. I got one question in.
For one person, too.
For one person.
Rupert Grint. Rupert
but
Grint.
I had questions.
But that's a good one, Rupert Grint.
It was. It was definitely a good one.
Yeah. But yeah, those press junkets, and, you know, Leo's, we've all been on these press junkets. We've talked about this a couple episodes ago, that a lot of the interviews are turning into these press junket opportunities. It's just the way it is. And it's quick and dirty. Get in, get out. You answer your questions only about the movie, and that's it. It's usually like one question. And when you look, you log into these press things, we clearly do not fit in with the rest of these like professional people from like Fox News and all that stuff. And there's all of us yahoos, right? Yeah. The Boo Crew. Yeah. What the hell? Who?
I feel like they all look at us like, how did they get
in? How
this
the fuck are they getting in? Because you can watch, you can see all their faces, right? Sitting in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Right, the little Zoom windows. And you can, you know, kind of see everybody kind of look over like, what the fuck is going on there?
It's a very interesting experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my favorite pastime is just sitting in the waiting rooms, like looking strung out and just looking around at all the cameras, like the Brady Bunch, being like, yeah, what's up?
Exactly.
Who are you with?
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, who's your cat behind you? Like, it's like people.
Yeah, the one
in their
dude
house.
Had a dog, had his dog as his co-host.
Yeah, it was a cute dog.
But yeah, we thought we were offered to do this after seeing the press screen, and we're like, okay, sure, I guess we'll do it. So, but yeah, like thinking we're both, I mean, if Leo, would have been able to go to the press screening would have been the three of us trying to do
it. Well, yeah, it would have been impossible. Ridiculous.
Like, literally, you answer the first question and they give you a warning.
Yeah,
they're like, okay, time's almost up. Well, I'm still answering my question, asking my question.
Yeah, it's yeah, crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what this is.
I get it. It's to get a lot of people in. And give a lot of people opportunities.
Sure, they probably did. They probably did hundreds. And it was wild because they obviously had set up, because they were each in very professional looking studio rooms. Like, it looked like when you watch a TV version of these press junkets, right? They're sitting kind of in front of the poster and the lighting's all perfect. So they had just done a bunch of in-person ones, evidently, and then switched to all these virtual. So they're probably doing this all day. And it was a Sunday early in the morning, like really early in the morning.
Yeah, but they were in New York, so it's not early for them.
Yeah, but I bet they started doing in person probably at eight in the morning. I wouldn't doubt.
Yep.
Right. And then, yeah, hundreds of these things. And I think they were still doing them throughout this week, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see you tomorrow or see you later today.
Newsflash, we are not morning people.
No.
So the 8 a.m., like that just scares me.
That was crazy trying to even get ready for that.
That was.
Right. Saturday night. Okay. Well, we got to come up with a one question each.
Which we came up with like four for each person, just in case.
Just in case.
They were like answering with like one word.
Yeah.
Questions.
That can happen when they're in that mentality of trying, you know, they're doing hundreds of interviews in a row. And then you just kind of go on to talking in sound bites.
Yeah.
Which is, for the most part, you know, what people want, what the reporters want and everything, right? And the movie company probably definitely wants, right? These quick, short answers, zingers, if you will. But it just amazing getting opportunity to talk to these people.
Oh, yeah.
M. Night, man.
Oh, my gosh. See, gave us two questions and I gave Trevor both of them because I feel like you're our quarterback and like your questions.
What are you talking about?
We're way better than mine.
Great question.
No, and I couldn't think that fast because they originally said like, this is it. No more questions. I was like, all right. And then M. Night was like, oh, let's take another one. He was super nice, super gracious.
Oh, yeah.
With his
he
time.
Was like, no. You guys are asking one more, please. Like, you know, he that's overrode awesome. The press junket people. It was awesome. Yeah.
I love that.
He was the coolest dude. You'll hear in the interview later on how freaking cool he is.
Yeah.
And it made me just love him even more. Like, he's genuinely humble and gracious and blown away that people love his work, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
We're all such huge fans of his.
Yeah.
And with Servant, it's so good.
Oh,
Servant, yeah.
God, and The Visit. We showed Scarlett, our 13-year-old, The Visit a few weeks ago. Oh, my God. She was blown away.
Yeah, it was our first M. Night, right?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
That's a good starter one. I love that one.
Yeah.
She'll have The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Luckily, it hasn't been ruined for her like it was for me by Conan O'Brien's co-host, Andy Richter, back in probably, I don't know, the early 2000s or when did that movie come out? Is that before 2000? Did it come out in the late 90s? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was around 99, I think, that was completely spoiled for me on an episode of Conan O'Brien.
Well, hopefully no one spoiled it for her. I don't think they have. I don't think she's seen anything that has sent. But I will say the last part of the junket, we talked to Jonathan Groff.
And Ben Aldridge.
Yes, who was, you know, how do I put this? So basically, when our kid Scarlett was what, like three, she was super into Frozen.
Yeah.
She kind of was on the Frozen train before the Frozen train took off. Like, she saw it and she was obsessed with it. And remember, we got her a Queen Elsa costume and everybody wanted to borrow it because they were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jonathan Groff plays Kristoff. So I cannot not hear Kristoff when he talks.
Yeah.
My only question that I wanted to ask was, are reindeers better than people? Ben, don't you think that's true? Because Ben
Aldridge is
I wanted to sing it. But then I thought, I'm going to get kicked off.
He probably would have laughed his ass off. I wonder if anyone made that connection, right? Well, are reindeers better than people? Ben, don't you think that's true?
Yeah. So wanted to do
Or they would have just gone, has left the conversation.
Meeting has been ended. Host. So I actually had real questions, but that was one that we always joke about, like, how can we really screw this up?
Sabotage ourselves.
Yeah.
That's exactly how. But yeah, we'll get to our thoughts on Knock at the Cabin, and you'll hear those interviews later. And I just wanted to mention that since we've been talking over the past couple episodes about different things, like everything from gatekeeping in the horror community to taking kind of a hiatus from social media, in my case, and what else have we been talking about? But people have been reaching out.
Yeah.
And DMing. You've been fielding some of them. We've been reading all of them. And we're so sorry if we haven't written you back yet. We will write you back. It means everything to us that you're reaching out to us with your stories.
Yeah, it's super cool to see. And I'm so sorry if I haven't written you back and I saw it. It's just 4 kids, jobs.
Yeah. Well, we're just kind of, and we're just all kind of getting back in the swing of things. We've taken this break, the longest break that we've ever had as the Boo Crew, over the holidays. So we're just, you know, wading back into the water here. And we appreciate you and your patience with us. Got some What's New in Horror. Guys, this is a crazy fucking news story that I read about the other day. North Carolina put out, and this is like true horror, real world horror. North Carolina put out an advisory after rusty razor blades have been found attached to the handles of gas pumps at gas stations.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen these pictures, Leo?
You know, I've seen the pictures, yes, but I did not see the story, so I wasn't sure where it was.
Yeah.
But that's crazy, man.
And it's multiple instances. They've been found in this place called Forest City and surrounding areas out in North Carolina. They're actively investigating the incidents in cooperation with the State Department of Agriculture. And the Department of Agriculture is the body that discovered these razor blades when they were just doing a routine inspection of the gas stations. And they found 3 confirmed cases of these razor blades at different gas stations in this area over 1 month alone.
That's really scary. I think of North Carolina as Dawson's Creek.
And The Notebook, right?
Yeah, I'm not seeing razor blades there.
Right, rusty razor blades packed into
gas pumps. So are people getting hurt?
I haven't heard of anybody. They haven't said like anyone's gotten hurt yet, luckily, right? I don't know. Maybe there's people who've grabbed the gas pumps and didn't know who got sliced up. I don't know. You get tetanus, whatever's on these freaking razor blades. But it's insane that someone would even think to do this. It's not like step into the mind of a psychopath for a moment. It's not like they get any enjoyment off of watching unless they're hiding in the woods. Like, this is a very malicious thing. Like, you set this up and then you go away and you forget about it and just assume this is happening to people. It's fucking crazy, man.
This is like the next Saw. Darren Lynn Houseman, are
right?
you? Watching the story, like,
so watch your
crazy
gas pumps when you grab. Now I'm gonna be crazy about this.
Of course
I'm gonna be
are.
Looking under the gas pump, like right on the handle. They tape them up there. God. And there's another thing. What were you gonna say, man?
Listen, see, not just your gas pumps. Did you hear a story about the guy that's using the dating apps?
Using the dating apps for what?
To find people to help him torture
what
women.
What?
Yeah, he's still on the loose.
What's the deal? He's just like putting out ads and stuff and trying to arrange meetups.
He's using, I don't know which app, a bunch of them to meet women, but to meet the ones that will do the work, the dirty work for him, like the ones that will actually tie up a different woman.
What the hell?
Torture. Yeah.
Ugh.
Like he's looking for partners in crime. Basically.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what blows my mind. It's like, it's one thing to be a psychopath on dating apps, but this dude is like looking for accomplices, you know? And I'm like, whoa, that's something new.
What area of, is it in the United States, I'm assuming?
Oh yeah, it's not that, I mean, the last I heard, and I didn't get the full story, but he was actually in prison in Las Vegas or Nevada somewhere. And somehow his sentence got reduced, so he got out. And he's this like, you know, bearded, like, good-looking guy, you know. So he's using the apps, and I guess he tortured a couple women, or at least one of them that was able to escape, and you know, she told her story. But yeah, he's on the loose again, and they are aware that he's back on the apps, so they're watching him to see where or who he contacts.
Oh, that's terrifying.
But What a creepy story, man.
Ugh. Speaking of creepy stories, there's some news in one of the most disturbing and mysterious missing persons cases I've ever heard about. I've been following this one for years. Maura Murray. Have you guys heard of this case?
I've heard you talk about
You've heard of me? Yeah. Leo, have you heard of the Maura Murray case?
No, unless
you probably ring a bell. You probably remember some of this because I mean it's been around for like I think it's almost 20 years now. So, and you listening might be familiar, might have heard bits and pieces of this being passed along, but this is basically the story. So there's this Massachusetts Amherst student, okay, Maura Murray. She was 21 at the time. This is just over 20 years ago. She told her teachers that there was a death in her family, which was later found to not be true. Then she left her dorm, crashed her car in Haverhill, which is where our friend Spider One is from, Massachusetts, singer Powerman 5000. And she has not been seen since. She was last seen by a passerby after her car wreck who saw the wreck and offered her help. Like she was there. She was seen there. And she said, no, roadside assistance is on the way. That person, when they got home, called the police. Officers went out to the crash site. Maura was gone. No footprints in the snow because it was in the wintertime. No footprints in the snow. I think her bag was left behind, too. And that was it. No one's ever seen her. Can't find any trace of her. Nothing. The family set up this website, MauraMurrayMissing.org. And they're still doing whatever they can to find her. The FBI put out a nationwide alert last year. And in July, they were able to discover human bone fragments not far from where she crashed. But nothing has been corroborated as definitely relating to her disappearance. But just a few weeks ago, they put up billboards along Interstate 93 to raise awareness, hoping that someone has seen her or seen someone associated with the disappearance. If it was malicious, who knows? Like, it could be she was just trying to get away. Like, it's interesting that she made up the story to her professors that the death in the family, like, it was, she was setting something up. Like, there was a reason she was going. So either, you know, her goal was to disappear, or her goal was to just get away, and then something bad happened during that. I don't know, but it is, I've listened to countless podcasts about it. I really, that one just lives in my mind. It's so tragic, so sad, and mysterious. But we're going to get into some fictional horror news now to lighten the mood a little bit.
On a happier note.
Yeah, on a happier note. Eli Roth, this past Halloween, put out this amazing VR experience. And it was like a 20 or 30 minute short film. You watched it, Lauren,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's called Trick VR Treat. It was starring Vanessa Hudgens. You can still watch it. It's on the Horizon Worlds app for anyone who's got the Meta Quest, which is a new name of... The Quest 2 is now called the Meta Quest. Or Oculus. Right. Yeah, Oculus Quest 2 is now Meta Quest. That's right. And Horizon Worlds is free. And you can watch Eli Roth's Trick VR Treat. And it's so freaking spectacular.
It's crazy. It makes you feel like you're part of it.
Yeah. And he wrote it and directed it in a way that the character's like chasing you. You really feel like you're part of it. Leo, do you have a Meta or Oculus?
I don't. And for the only reason that I'll be that one guy that ends up on that, like that YouTube channel where it's like where it goes wrong and you crash into the TV and the whole wall comes down. That'll be me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah, we've had some of those incidents here. But yeah, it is amazing. It's one of the most fun things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm excited for this next one.
So the next one is going to be called Be Mine. It's a VR Valentine slasher, and they say help hunt for the Cupid killer. It comes out February 10th at 7 p.m. PST. This one, it debuts. It stars Peyton List, and you'll be able to watch it on this Horizon Worlds app as of that day moving forward for free. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look for that. Don't miss it.
Nice.
So finally, new in streaming and in theaters this week, Michelle Monaghan and Skeet Ulrich's Blood hits VOD. It's now available. And we talked about it a bit on the last episodes about a separated mother and nurse who moves into an old farmhouse. Her son is bitten and infected by the family dog, and insanity ensues. Also, Molly Elfman's gorgeous Next Exit is on DVD now, starring Karen Gillan, Raul Coley, and Katie Parker. And we talked to Molly and Katie back on episode 328. It is beautiful, that movie.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Yeah, Raul and Katie are exceptional in that film. And
it's
really neat to watch Raul in a role like that as well. So excited. Skinamarink finally lands on Shudder February 2nd.
Woo!
This is Kyle Edward Ball's $15,000 movie about two kids who wake up in the middle of the night to their father, to find that their father's missing. It's been divisive. Like, I was so, like, this trailer, the trailer for this movie is the scariest trailer I've ever seen.
Ever?
In my whole life.
Ever.
Yeah,
it's pretty effective. Yeah. I mean, when Trevor told me, hey, check this out, it's pretty scary. I would say, yeah, it's one of the more effective trailers I've seen, like, ever, just because of what you see and what you mostly don't see.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what you don't see is everything in that thing. And it just repeats the same in this house over and over again, which I think is a lift from one of the Exorcist trailers, one of the early Exorcist trailers, I believe. It's got that tonality of something that's taken from the 70s.
I gotta rewatch the trailer, because when I watched it, I had like four kids around me and they kept asking me questions and I just kept hearing in this house and I was thinking, I gotta get out of this freaking house. So I'm gonna rewatch that.
It is terrifying, and I've been so excited to see this movie since. It's been out in theaters. I think it might still be in limited theaters now, but I haven't had the opportunity to go to a movie except for this press screening thing that came up for Knock at the Cabin. But I am really looking forward to checking this out. And hopefully, hey, if you listening have not been to the theater, let's watch it on Shudder when it comes out this week, and we'll talk about it next week. How about that?
That sounds exciting.
New on Netflix also, Viking Wolf. That comes out Friday. It's a Norwegian film that is described as a classic werewolf film in a completely new wrapping. That looks really fun. And finally, M. Night Shyamalan's Knock at the Cabin, which we will briefly talk about now.
Oh, we will talk about it right now.
Yeah. Lauren, what did you think?
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
The entire time?
Yeah. I was like, what the heck?
It is the most intense movie I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, the first scene just draws you in.
It drops you. This isn't one of these movies. It drops you in feeling tense right off the bat. It is beautifully told. It is absolutely terrifying. The score is one of the scariest scores I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's really good.
Nice.
And this little girl, I think her name is Kristen Cooey.
Yep.
It's her first like major movie and she was so good. I think she's 8 now, which she probably filmed this when she was 6 or 7. She's just adorable and such a good actor, and she just has the cutest little expressions, and it was so good.
Being on the edge of your seat the entire time is exactly it. Everybody, you have to go see this movie, and in a theater. You have to experience it in a theater, because again, the soundtrack and the sound design will blow your fucking minds. Absolutely no spoilers here, but just do we even say the basic? Now, I don't even want to say the basic plot point. I don't want to even talk about that. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who wants to go in totally cold, because there's people who don't even like to watch trailers.
That's true.
I don't like to watch trailers usually.
That's true.
The best movie experiences I've ever had are the ones when I just land in the seat, have no idea what's going on, and just let the thing happen, and then just be shocked. From Dusk Till Dawn, that was one of them that happened. And if you've seen From Dusk Till Dawn, can you imagine going into that movie completely cold?
That's crazy.
Right? That's fun. Oh my God, this movie's intense.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't let up.
It goes by really fast,
yes,
too.
Yeah, because there's no wasted time. The pacing is perfect. The pacing is perfect.
I agree.
This is going to be huge. This movie is going to be massive. Reviews are already coming in. Everybody's saying it's like M. Night's best work. It's one of the most intense horror films ever made. I mean, I concur. You'll experience it in theaters Friday.
Does it make you guys want to go and pick up Paul Tremblay's book, The Cabin at the End of the World, and read it? Like, do you want to go back now and explore more about the story?
I mean, it's different than the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is definitely, if you know, in a perfect world and I had time to read, then yeah, I'd probably check out to see how different it was. And I always think it's neat to see, read a book and then see a film and see what choices, you know, were made in bringing this to life and what I saw in my head. But yeah.
M. Night's an auteur, man. He's a brilliant guy. And we've been catching up.
By the way, yeah, does he make a cameo in the movie?
You'll just have to see.
Yeah.
Because I think that's his thing, right? He always does, and like everything he directs, right? I think.
Yeah, that's he has been known to do that. And you will see. You will see. Also, I was just going to mention Servant. Season 4 is out now. Leo, have you been catching up on some of the episodes?
Yes. Yes.
It's so good, man. Isn't it? Yeah. Are you kind of when the season started off, were you a little bit lost because you couldn't remember really where they left you?
Been a year.
Yeah, it's been a year. So it's almost like we needed a little bit of a refresher. We went back and like fast forwarded through some of the old episodes. But what do you think, Leo? Are you completely caught up with the whole story?
Yeah, you know, I kind of do the same thing because I don't remember how it left off. Or if I do remember, like, I forget the tone, what you're supposed to be feeling or what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I went back to the carnival episode.
Yep.
In
season 3. And I started watching from that point on. And then it's like, okay, now I know what's going on. Season 4, bring it on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. We've been addicted to it. And like we said before, it's like half hour episodes. So you go through them so quick and they're so masterfully written that you get so much in that small amount of time that you just keep going. It's like eating candy or eating those damn Doritos that I like. You just can't eat just one, you know? But anyway, so our interview with M. Night and Rupert Grint and Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldridge coming up here in a little bit. And I guess we'll go into just other things that we've been watching.
Other things that we've been watching. Well, should we let Leo go and then we'll say what we watch?
Yeah, sure. Leo, go nuts. Anything?
Great. Yeah, mine's short. I finally caved in and you can probably guess what I'm watching.
Did you go to the theater?
What everybody's talking about. No, it's what everybody's talking about.
The Last of Us?
Yes.
Nice.
I still haven't seen.
Have you started?
Tell me. What is it? Is it worth checking out?
Yes.
Definitely. See.
It's. I mean, it's formulaic. Like if you've seen 5 or 6 other end of the world type movies, you know, you can kind of take. Oh, I remember this scene from that one, and this one from that one, and this one. So I can see where they get their inspirations from. You know, I mean, I think there's only 3 episodes out at the time of this recording. But there's can't spoil it or anything, but there's a very simple premise of after a global pandemic destroys civilization, a hardened survivor takes charge of a 14-year-old girl who may be humanity's last hope. So pretty much, you know, those are the 2 stars, which is Pedro Pascal, you know, him from The Mandalorian, and Bella Ramsey. And then there's also supporting character Gabriel Luna. I think the cast is phenomenal. There is like one character I do not like, but you know, I'm going to let the whole season play out to see if I'm not supposed to like, you know what I'm saying? Like I always like had a thing where I hate that person. And it takes me out, you know, of the show. I'm like, I don't want to watch anymore, you know?
And then you get obsessed because there's maybe a misdirection or something. Who knows? Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think that the writing is so good. And of course, right now I'm not going to mention it or spoil it, but everybody's talking about episode 3. And then I honestly thought Mike Flanagan wrote it or directed it.
Wow.
Because it goes left field, like out of the blue. And you're like, what the hell is this? But so good. So good.
So yeah, I'm excited. Thought, I haven't seen
to do with it.
The third. Well, I stopped because we're going to watch it together, right?
Yeah, I'd like to get into it.
It's cool. It's something like, you know, and of course, I don't know if you guys know, it's based on a video game. I know nothing about the video game, but people have been saying that it stays true to the game. And then it does deviate at some point a little bit here and there. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the game, but what I'm watching on screen, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Have they made
I could see why people are into it.
Have they made a Fortnite movie? Just curious.
I'm sure they will.
I'm sick.
After, I mean, what was the big franchise? The Umbrella Academy, not the Umbrella Academy. Umbrella Corporation was a big evil.
Resident Evil,
right? I mean, after that, you would think that everything would become a movie, and a lot of hits and misses here and there.
I'm kind of surprised Fortnite hasn't become a movie yet, right?
Yeah. Like, what?
It's a bunch of people running around with guns, shooting everything.
Right.
This is the Fortnite movie is currently on repeat upstairs here at the house.
God.
All our kid freaking plays is Fortnite. And they get you to buy these skins, dude. Do you know about the skins? Like characters. They do the same thing. They just look different. Yeah. It's like... Our son's like, give me $12 so I could buy this character that looks like this YouTube influencer or whatever, right?
This is just the worst.
Right, it's runs like around the shooting
freaking
shit.
Worst.
Oh God.
Ugh, where have I failed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I recommend it. So check out The Last of Us on HBO Max streaming. I do have a trivia question for you guys.
I'm gonna fail the trivia if it's about this show. Hit me.
No, my trivia can be out of anything. So it's in the movie Scream.
Oh.
What is Randy's number one rule to survive a horror movie?
Number one.
Don't have sex?
Ding, 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 ding.
I was right!
Wow.
Yeah!
I had to think about that.
I like the Leo trivia.
Yeah, it's
great.
We
gotta make this a regular feature.
I love it.
Keep it spicy. Keep it spicy.
Yeah.
The Boo Crew will be right.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Back.
No one wanted to talk about it. No one would admit they had seen or heard it. The law told them to quit asking questions or leave town. Maybe folks felt if they didn't talk about the thing, it would go away. But these curious college boys wouldn't stay away from Black Lake. And that was a mistake. The Creature from Black Lake is coming to a theater near you, a Jim McCullough production.
Guys been watching?
Well, I wanted to ask, I mean, there's something I want to watch. Lauren and I were talking about it the other day. Infinity Pool.
Oh,
everybody's talking about Infinity Pool, talking about keeping it spicy.
First of all,
then they say like this movie should be X-rated.
I want you to say what you have been calling Infinity Pool.
Ponty Pool. Why do I call it Ponty Pool? What's Ponty Pool?
Is this like a Beaver Tails thing?
I don't know. I keep calling it Ponty Pool.
Beaver Tails sound like something you eat in Wisconsin, not exactly.
Beaver Tail is a Canadian dish,
exactly.
Much like poutine.
So I was thinking.
A Beaver Tail, just so you know, a Beaver Tail is like a churro, like what you'd be a churro here in Southern California. I guess it's everywhere. Is it an American thing, churro, or is it a Southern California thing? That's everywhere?
It's like everything.
It might be Tex-Mex or south of the border kind of thing.
Right, so you can go to like Wisconsin and they know what a churro is?
They should.
I hope so. Missing out.
Well, yeah, up in Canada and like the eastern part of Canada, like Ontario, maybe Quebec City a little bit, they have Beaver Tails. And I think I've talked about this before. The company that makes the Beaver Tails is called Hookers.
Oh God!
They have a Hooker's Beaver Tails.
Oh my gosh!
So it's like a churro, but it's flat like a beaver tail. They put a little lemon on it and cinnamon and you eat it. Yeah, it's just like a flat churro, but it's a Canadian delicacy. Might be French Canadian, I'm sure. I mean, poutine is French Canadian. Mm-hmm. That's the French fries and the cheese curds. And then you pour the scalding hot gravy over it and melts the cheese on the fries. And it's amazing. They got that stuff. You can get poutine at McDonald's and
that's right.
Burger King, A&W. Do they have A&W here?
I don't think so.
If
do we?
We do. It's very rare, like few and far between.
Yeah. They're kind of like Sonics up in Canada, I guess, like drive through. A&W used to be like night in the 50s. You'd go into A&W and park your car and they'd come out with the tray with their stuff on it and roller skates, you know?
How'd you get to Pontypool, though?
I don't know how I got to Pontypool.
He kept saying...
There must be a movie called Pontypool.
Everybody's talking about Pontypool.
Pontypool. It is. It's a movie from 2008. And it's a Canadian horror film.
Oh, no.
There you go. It is Canadian. It's a Canadian horror film directed by Bruce McDonald.
But imagine when I was like, are you talking about Infinity Pool? And he was like, I don't know if that's what it's called. I'm like, yes, it is. Okay, people are not watching Pontypool. No. They're watching Infinity Pool.
Infinity Pool.
Is it a Steven Soderbergh movie?
Infinity Pool?
Sorry.
Yeah, Brandon
Cronenberg.
Brandon Cronenberg, yeah.
Interesting.
I really want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it. It looks insane. I think it's playing,
probably
at,
gonna see a lot
playing
of
at the iPic.
And stuff.
Oh, God.
Go see it at the iPic.
We just don't nice. Have a sitter.
Yeah, Alex Skarsgård and Mia Goth.
Yeah, I can't beat that.
We got to find a sitter. And I have a feeling we cannot take the kids to this.
You have a feeling?
I have a feeling. They're saying X-rated.
Of course we can't.
Right. If you've seen Infinity Pool or Pontypool, hit us up on DMs at Tales from the Boo Crew on Instagram, at
but
Tales from the Boo on Twitter.
It, please.
Yeah. Yeah, please hit us up on Twitter. We have like no Twitter followers.
Okay, but let's not, because I don't check it. Who checks it?
I don't know. Leo, you check Twitter maybe? Ever? Is anybody hitting us up on Twitter? We can't get new followers on Twitter. I don't know what we're doing wrong.
We suck at Twitter.
Yeah, I think we suck at everything. But
yeah, but especially
on Twitter, for some reason.
It's the worst.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah. Like, I don't think we've got one new follower in like a year. Easy.
No.
Right?
Yeah. It's a graveyard.
Help us out on Twitter if you're listening. And you know the secret to cracking the code there. Anyway, what we've been watching. Okay, we rewatched Gretel and Hansel over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Oz Perkins, 2020. I think it came out in like February 2020.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Pretty sure, right before all the shit went down.
That's right.
God, that movie's good. I've seen it so many times.
It's like your favorite.
It's one of my favorites. Sophia Lillis, Alice Krieg.
It's great.
Yeah, so good. Score. One of the best scores I've ever heard by Robin Kuder, a.k.a. Rob, who's also worked with Alex Aja. He worked with the band Phoenix, if you're familiar with them. It made me look up what Oz Perkins is up to now. He did make that cameo in a very big Jordan Peele movie that came out not too long ago.
So what is he up to now?
He's working on a movie with Nick Cage called Long Legs.
Wow.
That's supposed to be like a possessed Geppetto movie. That's
oh my gosh.
Nick Cage is calling it that.
Oh man.
I can't
That's
wait.
Gonna be wild.
Oz Perkins is a freaking genius, man. If you haven't seen Gretel and Hansel, you gotta see it. It's beautiful.
Yep. It really is.
It didn't get the attention it deserved. For me, it's like a classic.
I know, you're
beautiful.
Upset about that.
No, it's incredible. And then we took a stab at Don't Worry, Darling. This is the Olivia Wilde movie that came out in September of last year. We watched it on HBO Max. A lot of controversy about this movie when it came out.
Oh,
starring
yeah.
Florence Pugh, Chris Pine, Harry Styles.
When I saw that it was on HBO Max, I was like, oh, I want to see this. Because I love Florence Pugh. So I wanted to check it out. And I was very adamant about watching it.
She is so cool. And the trailer was really awesome, right? It's kind of set in the 1950s. There was so much controversy around this movie when it came out that the controversy seemed to be almost louder than the release of the movie itself. If you remember, this is when Olivia Wilde got served custody papers during a convention appearance announcing the film.
That's crazy.
That's right.
The person was sitting in the audience with full credentials, walked up on stage in the middle of her presentation and served her with papers. That is insane.
That's really creative.
And embarrassing.
Yeah. And very embarrassing. They couldn't wait till after.
Right? Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, it made a spectacle of the whole thing. So that happened. And then there was rumors that she was romantically linked to Harry Styles on the set. Then there was the story of Shia LaBeouf being hired for Harry Styles' role originally. And then she said she fired Shia for conduct in pre-production of the film. And Shia was like, what are you talking about? That's not what happened. I have the texts to back this up of why I quit the production. Because he alleged they weren't getting enough rehearsal time. So all this kind of stuff. And then leaked cell phone videos were coming out between Olivia and Shia. And there was rumors of bad blood between Olivia and Florence. And all this stuff was happening. But I got to say, if you have avoided the movie for any reason and you got kind of got lost in the controversy, check it out. It is fucking great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is so fun. I think it's about 2 hours in runtime, set in this idyllic 1950s, but something's off, right? Something's very disturbing through this thing.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie.
It reminded me of like Pleasantville.
Right? The same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And Florence is just fantastic.
She's so great.
And there was a lot of sex in this movie.
Yeah. God, didn't we?
We've been through this with Honeymoon, the other movie that.
Yeah.
The Lee Janiak movie we watched the other week. We're watching a lot of movies with a lot of sex. The original screenplay for this one was written by Dick Van Dyke's grandsons, Carrie and Shane Van Dyke, and it showed up on 2019's Blacklist, which is kind of like an annual rundown of the most liked screenplays that haven't been produced yet. And it's been something that's been compiled and published every year since 2005.
Oh.
Then what happened was Katie Silberman came on and took over the screenplay and constructed this version that we finally see of Don't Worry, Darling.
And Olivia Wilde, who was originally going to play the lead role, decided to give it to Florence Pugh after seeing her in Midsommar.
And where was this thing shot? It looks like it was shot in California. It takes place in Victory, California.
Which is actually Palm Springs.
Ah.
So
it definitely has that Palm Springs vibe. I wonder if you can actually go down and see the little town. If it's actually there, they built the whole thing. I don't know.
That'd be interesting. I think we should do a road trip to check it out.
It's wonderful. This is the first thing I've ever seen Harry Styles in. And he's been in other movies before. Was he in Dunkirk? I think.
I don't know much about him.
You know who he is, though, the singer.
He
right?
sings of a band, right?
Well, One Direction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now he's solo.
It's not my music, so I don't pay attention.
Yeah, the music is great, by the way, and don't worry.
Yes, it really is. Yeah.
And speaking of music, see if you can guess who this is. Who's that? By now you
should have somehow realized what you Florence Pugh?
Florence Pugh.
I don't believe no way. That anybody
feels the way I do. She's playing guitar, too.
Wow. What can't she do?
Right? This is back like 9 years ago. She had her own YouTube channel and she called herself Flossie Rose. Just her playing guitar and singing.
Wow.
This is probably like before her acting career really took off. She's just releasing these videos of her playing and singing. There's some in-studio stuff she did, too. But she's a really fucking good singer.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Her speaking voice is really cool, right? She's got that, like, deep, husky rasp, right? But, yeah. Flossie Rose. Check it out on YouTube.
Yeah. I will also say that in that film, a lot of her facial expressions reminded me of Midsommar.
Yeah.
And the music was very similar sometimes to Midsommar.
If you love Midsommar, you're going to love Don't Worry, Darling.
they're different movies.
Yeah, different movies, but still.
Yeah.
You know, it's got some of the same aspects of what makes Florence great is in everything she does, right?
Yeah.
What was it? She was in Little Women, too, right?
Yeah, the remake. Yep.
Of course, she's the Black Widow, White Widow, or whatever.
Yeah.
Was Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah, that's when our neighbor...
Our neighbor called the cops on us when we were watching that, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I hate that, yeah.
At 10 p.m.
Dude, we watched the... I don't even think it was 10 o'clock
yet.
It was like 9 o'clock on a Friday or something, right?
Screw that guy.
The guy calls the cops. The guy who lets his dog bark from midnight to 7 in the morning called the cops.
No, the dog barks all the time.
Oh, all the time. But especially notice it at night because the person built a kennel outside their house and just leaves their dog out there 24/7.
Breaks my heart.
That should be a crime.
Yeah, because it was like freezing cold and the dog was out there.
Yeah. God. It called the cops on us for watching Black Widow.
With our kids.
Yeah, at like 9-something outside with like literally like 3 people who were completely silent. Right? We weren't even drinking.
Yeah, we were
just hanging out.
Family time.
Yeah. God, oh, that makes me mad.
Anyways.
We should watch Pontypool out there at 2 in the morning.
Full blast.
Or watch Don't Worry, Darling with all that sex. Super loud. All right. Well, so I guess we'll throw to our interview. Oh, by the way, Leo, we got lost trying to check out the press screening.
Are you surprised?
Of Knock at the Cabin.
Let me guess. It was somewhere deep in the lot somewhere.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Yeah, it was at the Universal lot. They told us like where to go, where to park. Of course, I parked in the completely wrong space. And we're like walking around this giant, giant parking structure with nobody in it looking for elevators. And then we found what we thought was the elevator. And then every time we tried to go to the floor, it was locked. And then we went in the staircase and we couldn't open the doors to the floors we needed to go at because they were hooked up to alarm systems.
So it's always an adventure.
Yeah, so
we're
just running around the parking structure for like an hour.
Yeah, Trevor's like, we're going to miss it.
Yeah, I'm
we're
just like, we're missing it. I'm just saying, like, we're just going to get back in the car. We're going to go home.
And I was like, calm down.
Yeah, she's like calming me down.
It's going to be fine. I bet they haven't started it. And guess what?
We ran into another dude who was like aimlessly wandering around the parking structure, too.
Yep. And he also was lost. Yeah. But did they start it? They did not start.
They didn't start it. But they said as soon as we walked in, it started. I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Yep.
And then, oh, I let the M. Night wash over us. Oh, it's so good. Can't wait for you to experience it. You listening. And Leo, man. Oh, I want to go again.
Yeah, because we have to take Scarlet.
Yeah, I got to take Scarlet to see it again. It's just so good.
Nice.
It's one of those movies you'll be talking about for forever. This is incredible.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista. Awesome. Holy shit, Dave Bautista.
Oh, your co-star.
What an actor. My co-star from Stuber.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you watch That's Stuber... Funny. You can hear Trevor as the radio DJ.
Yes, Stuber, the only movie I've ever been in, playing a radio DJ in the Uber in Stuber.
So cool.
That's hilarious.
Wow. Co-star with Dave Bautista. I get a check for streaming royalties every month or so for like $2.
It's pretty cool.
It's like it costs you more money to open the thing and look at it than it's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but Dave Bautista, my God, he's like, I've never seen him like this before. He's so great.
Yeah, he's really different in this character.
Give him all the awards. Give him all the roles. Yeah, can't wait to see him more. With that said, here's our interviews with...
Wait.
What?
One last thing.
Okay. All right.
It is Girl Scout cookie season.
Ooh,
time.
That's right. Ghoul Scout cookies. Ooh.
And guess who has a Ghoul Scout? We do.
Yep.
So
our official Boo Crew Ghoul Scout.
So if you want to support our Ghoul Scout, we'd really, really appreciate it. And if you can't, that's okay too. But if you were looking to get some cookies, you can
DM us?
Yeah. And I guess officially you can buy them online from her starting February 27th. And
that's a long time to wait to start ordering, really.
But if you're local and don't live too far.
Oh, they don't. Yeah, you could just DM us.
you can just DM us.
Yeah. And so, they are good. Got all the flavors. What do we got? Thin Mints.
Yep.
Adventurefuls.
Samoas.
I almost cleared a whole box of Adventurefuls in one day. Samoas. Yep.
Dosidos.
What's a Dosido?
It's peanut butter.
Peanut butter ones, yeah.
The only thing we don't have is Raspberry Rally, but you can only order those online. No Girl Scout will have them.
That's the brand new flavor this year. Everybody's talking about Raspberry Rammy.
No, Rally.
That's funny.
Raspberry Rally.
Right, I don't know why I can't get that for some reason. Raspberry Rally.
Yeah, it's because it's new, and then it's going to take time.
Of course,
time.
Anything new is a pain in the ass. New movie, pain in the ass to go to. Everybody's going to see
it.
Theme park. New ride.
Oh,
pain in the ass.
New ride.
Yeah.
Disneyland.
Is there a new ride at Disneyland right now? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is. The Mickey Mouse funhouse thing or whatever.
It's like, I feel
Mickey and Goofy's.
Mickey and Minnie.
Is it Mickey and Minnie?
Getaway?
Oh, yeah.
Runaway coaster.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
And you have a Super Mario World, right?
Yeah, that's opening soon.
Yeah. Wow, we are really getting off topic now.
Yep.
We're going to reel it back in. With none other than Rupert Grint, M. Night Shyamalan, and Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldridge for the film Knock at the Cabin, coming out Friday, February 3rd. You know what? One more thing. You know how movies say we're coming out Friday, February 3rd? But that's not really the case, is it, Leo? Usually that means it's coming out Thursday. You could see it Thursday, usually, right?
Late.
Typically, yeah, there's screenings like at 7 or 8 p.m. Thursday, usually, yeah.
That's usually what you like to do, right? Go see it on Thursday before the Friday?
Oh, yeah, I usually go midnight. I don't know if they still do midnight screenings, but when they used to, I would go midnight screening, empty theater, see the movie opening day, and just a great experience for me.
Yeah, it's like a sneak peek at that point, right? When you see it on the Thursday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I want to see... At the press screenings, you don't get a popcorn and soda and all that. Man,
sometimes
candy.
You do.
Sometimes you do. Rarely, though. Because it's usually at a studio and they don't have that stuff around. But I can't wait to go see Knock at the Cabin again with the popcorn and the red vines and the giant, biggest bucket of soda that they have.
I'm very excited to do that with Pontypool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. God, you're never going to let me live that one down.
Nope.
All right. You listening, we're so sorry to take you through the never-ending
episode.
Okay. Off to the interviews. Here you go.
All right. It's Trevor and Lauren from Bloody Disgusting's Booker. How you doing, Rupert?
I'm very good. How are you?
Awesome. Doing very well. Thank you. And congrats on creating yet another fantastic and poignant character that truly imprinted on all of us. And as all your characters do, now this one is particularly striking, as I don't know how else to say it, but your delivery and performance is haunting. It's traumatic even. What you were able to evoke in Redmond's journey has stayed with us for many reasons that audiences all over the world are about to discover. And through work like Knock at the Cabin and Servant, another M. Night project that you're outstanding in, what are the things about your craft and where you've pushed yourself that you find are unique to that particular alchemy with yourself and M. Night?
Yeah, no, I think I've really enjoyed working with Night Easy. I've learned so much from him. I think it's not necessarily a duo that you'd kind of expect on paper, but I just love working for him. He's so specific, and like everything's storyboarded before we even step on set, so you really know what he wants, and I find really kind of helpful. And we just have this shorthand that we've developed over the years, and yeah, I'm always learning more things from him. Like, just his demand as well for you always to kind of be in it, even if it's just like sometimes just your shoulders in shot, but you gotta feel it through your shoulder. So yeah, that kind of discipline is something that I've really learned, and yeah, I just want to always please him. He's just such a lovely guy, and if I could only work with him for the rest of my life, that would be great.
How did you, Dave, Nikki, and Abby develop this massive force of nature performance as an ensemble? And how did what they did inform your decisions in bringing Redmond to life?
Yeah, no, it's such an important part. I think it's weird because we didn't have loads of time to really kind of get to know each other. And by the nature of the actual story, these people are from all kind of different walks of life that have kind of found themselves through this kind of shared vision. So there's a lot of gaps that we kind of had to kind of fill in together. But yeah, I think just being in the space, and we were doing takes And the scenes were like kind of sometimes 7 pages long. Mm-hmm. So when you're in it for that amount of time, you really, something very unusual happens in a space like that. You kind of all sync up and you really do feel like you're in it. It's very immersive. And even like your breathing, you kind of, it's all kind of in sync and you're really kind of absolutely on tender hooks. You don't really know what to expect. So it's a fascinating way of working, and it's something I've learned with Servant as well. We work in a similar way where we're in this kind of one location, and it has this kind of almost play like feel. So it's great as an actor to work like that.
Mm-hmm. And you deliver some extraordinarily powerful words as Redmond throughout his arc, and including one very intense moment in particular. Could you let us in on a bit of the process in getting yourself there to give those words impact and truth?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, it's kind of everyone there, you feed off that kind of energy, and it was such a palpable kind of atmosphere in this very kind of small space. And just by actually kind of being there and doing it, kneeling down, being kind of set in front of this, kind of seeing these two guys, this family kind of tied to chair. It's just, I think particularly being a dad as well now, that's kind of added another dimension to things. You can really, it's very easy to put myself in kind of this scenario and think about how you would act. And it's created some very interesting conversations. And I think that's what people who go and see this film will enjoy. I think it's fun to kind of put yourself in these crazy scenarios.
Awesome, Rupert. Thank you so much for your time and for creating another classic, man.
Oh, very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the day. Bye.
Have a great one.
You too.
Wow. Look at you guys. Look
at Thank you, man. We're in a secret passageway in our house doing this, so we appreciate that, man. Congratulations, dude. It's an honor to speak with you through the lens of this astonishing film. It truly is another one of your masterpieces in what has become a growing body of work that continues to change cinema as well as pop culture itself. We appreciate that so much as fans. And one of the many elements at the heart of this piece is mystique and the tension created by synthesizing it and then controlling it. And in this tale, it starts from that opening shot of Leonard and Wen and doesn't let up for its entire runtime. And then the amazing thing about this is in those moments where the audience's own questions are asked and are perceived to be answered, the screen disappears and we get this very physical reaction of wonderment. It's like experiencing a magic trick. It's absolutely electric. Can you describe the importance of the power of mystique and perhaps some of the challenges maintaining it for audiences that have really seen it all?
Well, first of all, you know, let me just say, you know, the words that you say to me have a huge impact. I'm just when I'm alone and writing, and you know, I'm just like every other person that doesn't believe in themselves and struggles and fighting your own demons. And so, you know, when you say that, I don't have a fixed mentality about things. I don't go, I am what you just said. It's a growth mentality of, you know, I what are the things that allowed me to speak to you on this one, the practices and things, and keep on trying to improve on those things that allow me to not be corrupted and risk myself and honestly risk your appreciation of me for something that I would believe in, that I would have the fortitude to do that on another story, to risk this relationship with you each and every time. So it means a ton that you said those things. It was so gracious the way you said them. You know, there's a certain cinematic ethics that is embedded in me that I try to live up to and fail sometimes, you know, if I can't figure it out, but never the aspiration is there to follow what is it, what lens is it, what is the distance from the character, what is the blocking of the character, obviously what is the script, but what is the lighting, what is the, you know, all of those things, where is the focal plane, is it before or after, are there two characters, push the one character back 6 inches so they're slightly soft and the audience doesn't even know that one character is slightly soft intentionally, all of those things. And of course, sound and music and all our wonderful storytellers that get to tell it together. But it's excruciating, I would say, you know, for me, when the lens goes up, you know, I've drawn it out months and months and months and months of thinking about what is the cinematic language of the piece. For example, in the opening scene with Wen and Leonard, they're looking directly into the lens. and it's very unnatural, but there is a connection with them that's almost preternatural. It's not normal. And even though it's very uncomfortable what you're watching, they're kind of in this bond together, and yet he's not telling her something. And what he's not telling her is very bad, and she knows it, and so it's like clicking. The frame is just clicking as she's starting to realize this person's not telling her something really disturbing. And so the ethics, as you move through it in the language of it, of the thriller, making sure that a story told in one place never returns to the language that it had before, because the characters are not feeling the same in scene 78 and scene 35, so you cannot represent them the same.
Brilliantly answered, man. Unfortunately, that's all the time, but M. Night, thank you.
No, ask one more question. I went on too much. One more question.
The inescapable feeling of dread in this film is unlike anything we've ever experienced, and a massive part of this is that brilliant score by, and forgive me if I get the name correct, Herdy's Stefan's daughter.
Yes,
we would love to know how you found him or her and the process of conjuring this horrible sonic landscape.
Oh, thank you. She's amazing. You know, part of this always being a student mentality is working with brand new people and people that I am inspired by who don't have the experience yet, and forcing me to see the world through someone who doesn't know bad habits, who doesn't know the rules. And I got to hear the music of Herdís, who did a small TV show. She lives in Iceland. And I saw something in the music, and I called her, and we Zoomed, and I talked to her, and I felt like she was at the right place in her life. And I said, Herdís, you want to go do this big movie that everybody in the world, show it to the whole world? And she said, I'm ready. And I said, I think you're ready. And then we went, and I talked to her about, you know, where I'm coming from, the kind of old school cinema, the old lenses, the way we're shooting on film. And then she delivered kind of this 2023 Bernard Herrmann, but a woman's voice doing it, Bernadette. And so she just brought this kind of inspiration. The beauty of working with new people like this is that they don't know that they shouldn't be flying that high. They haven't been taught out of it yet, you know? So she's flying in the air, and she's so inspired, and I'm like taking my breath away. And so being inspired by the new storytellers is part of the magic of these movies for me.
Oh, thank you for sharing her brilliance with us. It's absolutely it was astonishing to sit there in the cinema and be washed over with this. It was intense. Thank you for all that you do and for the powerful and evocative stories that you continue to tell. We appreciate it more than you know.
Thanks, brother. Thank you, guys.
How you doing, guys?
Ooh, good. Where are you? Your home looks so gothic.
We're inside a secret passageway in our house, believe it or not, where we built this studio. So thanks for noticing. Awesome. Listen, you guys, it is so absolutely wonderful to getting a chance to talk with both of you on the heels of this spectacular film that is no doubt going to be revered and meditated on as a classic for years to come. And this does not happen without the performance that you two gave. It's the very soul of this entire piece, the relationship you portray for us on screen is so real, and you create it with such sincerity and subtlety and strength in all the right places that it lets the audience in to the extent that we become you. It's a magical thing, because that's how the illusion of all this trauma and terror and tension materializes. And it really is a collaboration between the two of you through melody and cadence of speech, the words you each choose to empower or draw back from. Even there appears to be a ton of play here, and we'd love if you take us through your work together on giving us that gift.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, we're just a couple of legends. So that's the answer to that. Thank you. Such kind words. Yeah. I don't know how to respond. How did we get there, Jonathan Groff?
How did we get there? Well,
a lot of hard work.
I don't know, Ben. We had a kind of like built-in vibe between us. We'd never met before our first day of rehearsal on the movie. Wow. And I think that I don't know if you read the book in addition to seeing the film, but the characters in the book and the film are very similar, and they're very specific, and they're very like yin and yang. And I think Ben and I are kind of yin and yang as people in a way as well. I think it was good casting on Knight's part energetically for the two of us in these parts. And then we had little Kristen, who plays Wen, and she was such a source of joy and kind of like re-inspiration into acting. It was her first movie ever, and so we bonded a lot getting to work with her and getting to know her. And then the other like five actors in the movie came to slay. They're just so good. And every time we would go into that cabin, it was like rounds in a boxing match. It was like ding, 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 and here we go. Everybody was so in it to win it every step of the way. And obviously, Knight is swinging for the fences.
Yeah, and so I think everyone was so supportive of each other as well. Like there was a real, really encouraging each other after those intense scenes, and like letting people know that they were doing a good job, and really also. And I remember Knight was commenting the other evening. He said that he's never known actors to be so committed when they're off camera as well. That no one ever once like phoned in a take or didn't give their 100%, even if they weren't on camera at the time. So everyone just really turned up to like give their all. And you had to. The script was so demanding. You couldn't not do that.
Yeah, like Ben, there was this funny moment. He has this line where he's like shaking in the chair and he's like, "Don't touch her!" He's like screaming. And it was my coverage. Ben wasn't even in the shot. And you thought Knight
said starting from that point.
Yeah, we thought we were saying. And Ben was giving full on chair vibrating, screaming. The camera's not even on him, just for me, for my own like reaction to his acting. That was the level of
confusion. But I did it at the wrong point, so everyone said about
hilarious.
Well, Jonathan and Ben, thank you so much for your time. Congrats on the film. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh my God. We just talked so too much.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. That was Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldridge, Rupert Grint and M. Night Shyamalan for the exceptional film Knock at the Cabin, in theaters everywhere at time of release, Friday, February 3rd. You guys all good?
Yep.
Perfect. Leo, you good?
Yep.
All right. That was the Boo Crew Podcast, episode 369. Production tracks provided by the fine folks at Powerman 5000 Incorporated. Till next time, this is Trevor, Lauren, and Leo, collectively known as the Boo Crew, saying
sweet screams.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Boo Crew Podcast. Haunt the Boo Crew at TalesFromTheBooCrew.com. Tales from the Boo Crew on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at TalesFromTheBoo. The Boo Crew is Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio. The Boo Crew is produced by Lauren Shand, chopped and sliced by Trevor Shand. The Boo Crew is a TSP creation, part of the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
Bye.
The Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network, home of the Boo Crew. For horror-centric interviews, SCP archives, weekly full cast storytelling, horror queers, genre commentary from an LGBTQ perspective, and creepy. For disturbing and terrifying creepypastas. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.